Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Great Mercy of the Heavenly Father. Chapter 2. The Father of Mercies, an indispensable attribute of the glory of God to be known and received. Mercy cannot be understood dissociated from the knowledge of the glory of God, from the knowledge of the merciful God. However, knowledge of God's glory also implies the need for growth in knowledge about the creation made by the Lord. God knows who He is, and God knows who the creation is. However, the creation, as such, needs the enlightenment of the eyes of understanding to come to know who God is and who the creation itself is. The human being is the most sublime and exalted creation that God has revealed to us. God created the human being in His image and likeness, as explained more fully in the theme of the Gospel of the Creator. The human being, however, is not God, and never will be, just as God is not the creation. A crucial point that needs to be highlighted repeatedly, for by confusing the condition or position of God and human beings, many people start to idolize and worship what is not appropriate for them to do. When the heavenly revelation that only the eternal Lord is God and that the creation is a creature is abandoned, the human being starts to put oneself in line with all sorts of evil and to advance rapidly towards a life subject to ungodliness, unrighteousness, and human miseries, as exposed in the text that we recall below. Romans 1:18-23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals and creeping things. Throughout human history, people have repeatedly sought to live their lives dissociated from the Creator of humankind. And God, to some extent, has allowed each generation to try to follow its own ways as if it were not God who had given them life. On the other hand, God has also allowed people to experience, to some extent, the consequences of their own choices and ways. God did not allow what was exposed in the previous paragraphs as if granting an endorsement for people to sin, but so that human beings could understand the action of what opposes people so that they may have a more comprehensive knowledge of good and evil and so that they voluntarily come to choose the righteous ways of God. As also exposed in the theme The Law of Understanding. Nevertheless, once a person submits to an evil way, one also becomes an accomplice of evil. And for this, one incurs subjection to sin and the body of sin, as the Scriptures teach us. Thus, on the one hand, looking deeper into the consequences of association with evil, which is expressed as the body of sin, as widely discussed in the theme The Gospel of God's Righteousness, it becomes very challenging to understand how God allows the human beings to choose paths that bring them so much distress, pain, and suffering. On the other hand, if we think in the opposite direction, that is, if God did not allow human beings to see the suffering that is caused by walking dissociated from the Lord's instruction and by subjection to sin, human beings would not indeed have the option to choose with understanding and freedom between following God or following the sinner's way and the life that comes from subjection to sin. Many people ask questions similar to this one: how can a God of love allow suffering? However, if God deprived human beings of seeing any suffering, this created being would never really know what is good and what is evil, what is light and what is darkness. And in this way, one would not indeed be a being with the possibility of choosing or opting for one or the other. God does not want people to be subject to suffering, but allows them to make choices through which, in part, they see the suffering that comes from the inclination to evil that people in the world have chosen to practice and continue to practice. God continuously instructs and warns people not to choose evil and warns and exhorts them in many ways. But despite all this, they, countless times, continue to follow their personal positions and choose what is contrary to the good and perfect will of God, also exemplified in the following text. Jeremiah 7:23-24. But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Over the years, centuries, and millennia, many people's options even turned into iniquities. In other words, despite being contrary to God's will, many people's attitudes began to be transformed into behaviors incorporated into the cultures and traditions of peoples. In this way, one of the central characteristics of iniquities is that they are expressions of evils that can become so rooted in the hearts or minds of people to the point of leading them to repeatedly practice evil, even without considering that they are practicing sin. And this, in turn, also generates such repeated and continuous harvests of pain and suffering. On the other hand, even though many people try, based on their own wickedness, to cast thoughts contrary to God's righteousness because of the evil they see in the world, when a broader scenario of humanity is also seen from the perspective of God's mercy, we can see the greatness of God and His wisdom also amid this whole scenario in reference. If, on the one hand, we could come to think that the fact that human beings chose to experience evil would be something that denigrated the greatness of God for allowing humanity to do so, on the other hand, if we observe that God's wisdom, through His mercy, also knows how to deal with this choice of human beings, we can see, in all of this, an even greater breadth of God's love that exceeds all human understanding. Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Meditating on the topic of human beings having the option to choose evil or sin is indeed challenging and intriguing, but if God were only able to love the creation if it chose only good, never made mistakes, and was always obedient to God, the Lord could be defeated on the day that any human being turned away from Him and committed a single act contrary to God's will. Therefore, this matter needs to be seen with prudence, for God does not push or guide people to practice sin. On the other hand, however, the love of God is not restricted to only being able to love the creation when it acts in perfection or when a human being never commits an error or sin, as the texts below teach us respectively. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because it is a creature and not God, the creation is not above all and is not infallible. Therefore, the creature can only be correct and just in everything in the Lord and never dissociated from one's eternal Creator. If the creature were infallible by itself, it would be autonomous and not need God. That is, it would be a God, a proposition of thought that led Adam and Eve to choose subjection to sin. The creature fails when it moves away from God's direction or thinks it can live without God. When creation does not abide in the dependence on God, it does things that should not be done and starts to live a life devoid of fruits that are according to the will of the Lord and profitable for it. John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And it is also in the face of all this that the Lord demonstrates that only he is God, doing so by presenting his sovereign provision for people to be able to repent and be saved from their wrong choices, their subjection to darkness, or the eternal condemnation arising from their sins, including those that reached the degree of submission to countless iniquities. Still, in other words, we see that the scriptures declare that God is love and that if anyone is in God, one is also in the love of the Lord, as exemplified in the following text. 1 John 4, 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God demonstrates his love by giving us life and by allowing us to continue to have life. God loves us also because we are his workmanship. Nevertheless, what happens if this workmanship of God's hands, a fruit of the Lord's love, rebels against the one who created it? If this workmanship of God were to become something extremely despicable and miserable, would God, who is love, be able to continue loving this creature? And it is to advance in the aspects of the questions above that a broader knowledge of God's mercy and a closer relationship with it is so necessary, which we want to approach here, starting by observing other terms that are often associated with mercy in the scriptures or into which the word mercy is also translated, such as to sympathize with our weaknesses, to have compassion, constant love, goodness, long-suffering, bene gudniti, and other similar terms. Therefore, God's mercy and God's love intertwine and blend together throughout the scriptures, for one is part of the other just as mercy is in God's grace and grace manifests itself multiplied in a person's life because of the mercy of the Lord. Given this, we understand that we can say that 1. God's mercy is the part of God's love and God's grace that loves the human being even if one is in a miserable and despicable state. 2. God's mercy is the part of God's being that continues to love even that part of the creation that has rejected the Lord. 3. God's mercy is a virtue in God that makes God's love stand out even for the miserable person, the one who turned away from him, or the one who actively opposed God, to the point that the Lord offers salvation and real, true, or substantial help to the sinner or to the one who rebelled against one's eternal Creator. 4. God's mercy is the part of God's love that loves all people, even when they are already associated and enslaved to evil and, therefore, dissociated from the path of truth and eternal good. 5. The mercy of God is the love of the Father that continues to offer his love and help even if an individual in the present world rejects the Heavenly Father himself. Here, then, it seems appropriate for us to say that mercy is the very constant and unchanging love of the Heavenly Father, but especially directed to compassion, goodness, and bene gudniti towards people in their weaknesses or even in their rebellious postures against the Lord. In his mercy, the Heavenly Father loves people even when he is not loved by them, thus showing one of the fundamental facets of his love, and, therefore, of the very I am, of the very being of God, also showing his attribute of Father of Mercies that so essentially needs to be known by every human being. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Although we intend to see later that the fact that God is the Father of mercies does not imply that God tolerates sin in the sense of being conniving with it. We see that the attribute of God, in his condition as Father of mercies, is so sublime and broad that even though people have subjected themselves to sin, iniquity, and darkness, God, by His mercy, continues to extend opportunities for forgiveness, salvation, and reconciliation with Him to the people in the world to the point that the Lord's mercy can prevail over the condemnatory judgment. James 2, 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Furthermore, it is very significant to see that the scriptures teach us that God's benignity or kindness goes hand in hand with mercy, for one of the sublime aspects of the word kindness, or benignity, is that it is composed of the words goodness and integrity. That is, kindness or benignity is a goodness that always acts in integrity and righteousness, showing us that mercy is also broadly kind, compassionate, and clothed in long-suffering, but without ever acting contrary to what is upright and righteous, just as the Father of lights is righteous. Thus, it is precisely because God's mercy can bestow compassion with integrity and righteousness that it triumphs over judgment. If God's mercy were not perfect and just, it, ultimately, would also have to be condemned along with its Father. As we have already mentioned above, if God were not merciful in His integrity and righteousness, the entire human race would already be completely extinct. God, however, is not only merciful, but He is the Father of mercies. And in His mercy, the Lord offered and continues to offer, in Christ Jesus, His offer of justification, redemption, and salvation to all human beings in the present world so that everyone who believes in Christ may receive eternal life. It is because of God's mercy, which aims to offer eternal salvation and the knowledge of God's glory to every individual, that the present world is still sustained. And because the world, as we know it at present, is still supported by God in His attribute of the Father of mercies, people should not be frivolous and negligent in understanding and accepting the Lord's mercy towards them. 1 Timothy 2, 1-6. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, or eminence, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Psalms 103, 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. 2 Peter 3, 1-12. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Therefore, under the ignorance or contempt regarding the mercy of God offered to them by the Heavenly Father, people do not understand that they no longer need to perish because of the sins and iniquities they committed. Ignoring or despising the condition that God in His glory is also the Father of mercy towards every human being is, then, one of the main reasons why people begin to open the door of their hearts or minds to question the righteousness of God and for not seeing that it is their own unbelief that keeps them away from the relationship with the Lord and not the merciful love of God. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hebrews 3:12-13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Disassociated from understanding and accepting the work of God's mercy towards them, many want to attribute injustices to God instead of acknowledging their unrighteousness before the Lord so that, through His mercy, they may be forgiven and reconciled with their eternal Creator. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. We recall here, then, that, in Christ Jesus, God did not come into the world in the flesh to condemn people. On the contrary, Christ came to offer human beings their redemption from sin and eternal condemnation because of their subjection to sin and darkness, revealing His incomparable and unparalleled joint work with the Father of love and mercy. Moreover, in His condition as the Father of mercies, God, the Creator of everything and everyone, who is above all creation and who owes absolutely nothing to anyone, not only offers His mercy, compassion, goodness, and kindness in Christ Jesus to every human being but still, despite being the Almighty God, even pleads, or makes supplications to us so that we may be reconciled with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So, considering that God is the Father of all mercy and of all true consolation or comfort for eternal life, where else could a person find mercy by keeping oneself resistant to God and away from the Father of goodness and eternal life? It is in God's mercy in bestowing His Son Christ Jesus as the perfect sacrifice and way of salvation and newness of life that a person attains all that one needs for eternal life under God's mercy even though one previously subjected oneself to sin and darkness. Nevertheless, if a person rejects the mercy of God, revealed to the world above all in Christ Jesus, one rejects the Father of all mercy that can provide forgiveness, redemption, and eternal salvation to an individual. Christ is the eternal truth, Christ is the good gift of God's salvation, but Christ is also the evident and essential expression of the mercy of the Father of mercies towards us. Christ endured, to the uttermost extreme, the chastisement and the pain that should come upon us so that in Him, in the mercy of the Heavenly Father, we could be saved and redeemed from life apart from our eternal Creator. Isaiah 53:5. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. There is no human pain, affliction, or anguish greater than that which Christ suffered because of God's mercy towards us, for He bore the sum of all the pains, afflictions, and anguish of all human beings, including those who did not acknowledge Him as the Lord or still do not acknowledge His Lordship. The suffering of Christ, because of mercy for every individual in the world and also the sum of what all the individuals in the world have done, cannot be compared with any other pain endured by any other human being. Because of the love of the Father of mercies for us, the Father gave us the Son of His love also as the perfect Son of Man who bore the shame and pain of all human beings to show us that we have in the Lord the saving mercy that is offered to be known and received by all. And if this were not enough, it is also the Father of mercies who establishes Christ Jesus as the eternal High Priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, to assist each person who, through Him, comes to God and His throne of grace. Hebrews 4:13-16. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great High Priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a High Priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God created people to live in Him, and even if they have turned away from the Lord, He, by His mercy, invites them to return to the place of life for which they were created in heavenly love. Aspects repeatedly reaffirmed in the Scriptures, and concerning which we recall below, once again, some texts that express central points of the extent of the love and mercy of the Father of mercies. Romans 5:8-11. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Romans 3:9-26. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable, there is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, with their tongues they have practiced deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In Christ Jesus, God reiterated that He is the unique creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, that He has entire dominion over all creation, and that He is the Father of lights who can enlighten people in the deepest darkness, but also that He is the God of mercies by which He pardons all those who receive His invitation to salvation and fellowship with Him. Psalms 145, 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Finally, returning to the point concerning which some people claim that mercy seems devoid of logic, we would like to highlight here that it is precisely under the logic of mercy provided by the Father of mercies that every human being can be saved. And this applies even to those who think or advocate that mercy is not logical, is not based on the irreproachable righteousness of God, or even believe that one can be justified before the Lord by some kind of external code of conduct similar to what was the law of Moses, which, however, has already been revoked before God because of its weakness and unprofitableness. Thus, God announces His glory to the world also with the attribute of being the Father of mercies so that everyone knows that despite the past they may have had, they are invited to approach Him for salvation and eternal newness of life if they are willing to receive Christ as Lord in their lives. Joel 2, 13. So rend your heart, and not your garments, return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. Proverbs 16, 6. In mercy and truth atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord one departs from evil. Proverbs 28, 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Romans 11, 32-36. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that He might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Hebrews 7, 18-19. For on the one hand there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect, on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. Titus 3, 3-7. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In God's logic, there is no way for a Father of mercies not to be full and overflowing with mercies towards those who need it and are willing to receive God's love towards them. Psalms 86, 15. But You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Psalms 103:1-22. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.